it's, for me, it's nothing to be scared about, right? It's something to embrace and go, okay, this is going to be disrupting the market. How do I like get on top of it? How do I stay with it?
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars. To claim your free course today. Hey, welcome back to Pillars of Wealth Creation and another hump day hustle. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. With me as always is John Stiles with Bridge Realty. John, how are you doing today?
Doing great today, Todd. How are you today?
I am fantastic. I just landed back from Nashville, Tennessee, where I was at a conference all weekend. Also visited some of my properties. So I had a pretty eventful last 4 days. Unfortunately, I got back at 9:30 in the morning, so I missed my kids. So they're at school all day, so I definitely can't wait to get home and see them have them get home and be able to see them. So, but yeah, things are good. So, and today we're going to kind of talk about a little bit about that conference. But before we do that, John, anything that you want to talk about, anything that you got going on that you kind of want to hit on, or
One thing kind of interesting or exciting from our lives is that we recently started doing Airbnb for one of our rental units. So kind of an experiment, because you hear a lot about it from other people, and
yeah,
but you never really know how it's going to work out till you try it yourself. So that's something we're experimenting with.
So have you guys actually started advertising? Have you gotten anybody in it?
Yep. Yep, our first guest was this past weekend.
Okay.
A group of like six people and stayed for two nights. And we didn't really interact with them too much, but I think they were going on a bike ride or something, so they just needed a place to stay.
Interesting.
We've got like four more bookings already.
You do? Okay. So how far out? So you had this first booking. And that was this weekend. When's your next four bookings?
The next couple of weekends. So mostly we're seeing them on weekends. And then there is one or two out in November. So I think this next weekend, and then there's a break, and then the following weekend. So okay. I'd have to look at the schedule.
Yeah. But you're getting some consistency already, which is actually really good, obviously, because that's what you aim for. So what are you charging for a night on the weekend right now? So,
right now, I let Airbnb do their smart pricing.
Okay.
So they make it fluctuate depending on demand and interest and that stuff. So, I think after I get used to the system more, I might put some more specifications in it. But so initially it was doing like $139 per night.
Okay.
And then recently, after we've got our first few bookings, now it's down to like $80 a night. Hmm. And so it seems like, you know, demand has maybe dropped, and that's to be expected. I mean, we're in the fall going into winter, so not too many travelers during the week and whatnot. So I guess I'm tempted to increase my minimum, because you can set a minimum and a maximum. I tried to put like $1 million maximum, and it wouldn't let me do that. But
no, shoot.
So I think they cap it at $10,000, or I don't know, some, I don't know. So I got, I guess $80 is my minimum. I've considered increasing it, but you know, I also want it to just be booked. So
yep. Yep. Especially just start out, right? You want it to be booked a lot. You want it to gain that traction because you don't have any reviews. And that I think is a big part of it too, is people want to look at reviews.
Right. Yep.
So. So what were you getting for rent for that unit prior to doing the Airbnb?
About $1,050.
About $1,050 you're getting. Okay. And so you have to rent it out for $35 a day. Every day. But if you're at 80, what's that? You'd have to rent it out for 13 days in a month. So as this gets going, do you think that's, have you talked to anybody else that's doing it? Like, is that feasible in our great state?
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people, and I've kind of just been building a kind of a network of, okay, who's doing this and who can I go to for questions? And there's a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
I've joined some Facebook groups and put out some questions and stuff.
Okay.
As far as can I get it consistently booked? I think so. I think
Nobody
can really tell me that because there's so many variables, like how many bedrooms are you offering? Where is it located? What's the attraction for that location? Sure. For us, we're close to downtown Minneapolis. So we're close to the convention center. We're close to US Bank Stadium. So if people are coming in for events like that, like one of the people that booked, they're going to the, what is it called? The zombie bar crawl or something like that in Northeast Minneapolis. I probably don't have the name quite
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, that sounds scary, but.
Sounds fun. Well, that's cool. That's cool. It'll be interesting to see how that goes, and you'll have to keep us updated on how it actually goes. I've thought about, man, should I do some Airbnb? Because I've got a couple places that are near downtown Minneapolis. I have a fourplex that's right by the new Viking Stadium. And I thought, man, the Super Bowl was here, obviously. But I had full-time tenants in there and they had leases. So I couldn't just kick them out of there. But I thought, boy, that would have been a great thing to do. I likely would have been able to make a good chunk of money, but I've actually thought about, well, maybe I should do that. It's four units, could test it out on one unit. So you'll have to let me know how it goes. And, you know, maybe I'll have to do that. Maybe you can manage mine for me. Cause that's what I don't want to do, is manage it.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing with this business model. It's a lot more high touch. I mean, yeah. When people book, you want to actually respond to them right away and say, you know, we're excited to have you.
Sure.
And then they have, if they have questions, like, well,
couldn't you automate some of that?
I suppose. I mean, I'm not quite sure how.
Yeah. I mean, well, when somebody books, you'd think you could, I'm not very techie either, but you'd think you could get it so it just sends an automatic email out, like, hey, you know, thanks for booking, just a boilerplate email type of thing out. I don't know.
I did see that they have, you can save templates of your common responses so that you can just select them and don't have to type it all over again.
Okay, cool.
So there's that much.
Yeah.
Depending on the situation, a lot of the bookings will automatically approve. But then you kind of still want to follow up with a personal message, you know?
Yeah.
I
just read that the Airbnb took over as the world's largest hotel provider, or the, you know, whatever you want to call it, but overnight stay provider. They took over the Marriott, and that's just Airbnb. That's not including VRBO and all these other, there's a couple other companies that do it as well. So it's pretty interesting, the business model, how well it's done.
Yeah. Yep. And it's a little nerve wracking. I mean, if you search it out, you're going to find a few horror stories.
Sure.
But I think that's the case with anything. Like, you can search out tip normal rentals and find horror stories.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So
I heard it. So we're a little sidetracked from what I want to talk about, but I think this is interesting anyway. So I heard a person that was doing a model, I don't remember who told me, maybe it was you, I don't know. Where they were doing corporate rentals, they would try to do long-term or short-term corporate rentals. And then in between those rentals, those corporate rentals, they would do the Airbnb, because it's already furnished, right? And so these corporate rentals would come in there for month, 2 months, maybe sometimes even just a few weeks. And then there might be a delay in, you know, maybe they won't need it for a few months. Or a few weeks, whatever it is. And so then you do Airbnb during that time to fill those units. And so that was an interesting model too, because as a corporate rental, you get quite a bit more rent than just a regular rental, but you get the stability, or not quite the stability, but you get some stability there as well, and less management during that corporate rental. So I thought that was an interesting business model, maybe something that you want to toy with as well, as you go, and if you want to keep this model going.
Right. That wasn't me, but yeah, definitely if you can attract, you know, have a good enough product that you're attracting kind of higher end clients, mm-hmm. they should be, you know, less, well, I don't know. I would think they would be maybe less needy, but
yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously you're still going to have to do repairs and maintenance, and that's going to have to be at a higher level. And maybe it's a little more checkup and stuff on the properties to make sure they're being, you know, maintained really well, because you don't want to lose those clients. But yeah, I think it would be less. You're not going to go in there every day and change the sheets, you know, wash towels, that kind of stuff. They're going to have their own towels, and they're going to probably be, I would think they would be in charge of washing their sheets. You know, that type of stuff. So you're not going to have to go in there every single day and do that.
Right. So. Yeah. One thing about our location in South Minneapolis, we have several hospitals close by. And so I talked to somebody else who actually I was buying furniture from, and they happened to be that they have a short-term rental as well. And they're attracting a lot of the visiting nurses who come in for several weeks to months from the local hospital.
Well, you're not very far from, you know, a hospital.
Right.
So you could attract that as well.
Yep.
I would think. Yeah. Yeah. You're close to the hospital. You're close to downtown. You're close to, you know, Wells Fargo's got a big building there, and there's a lot of companies not very far from where you're close to the airport too.
Yep.
So I would think there's a pretty good need for that.
Yeah, the biggest pain so far has just been switching up my insurance, because I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, good point. So anybody thinking of that Airbnb, sorry for interrupting, but anybody thinking of that Airbnb, yeah, you got, like, I didn't even think about that, not until you just said it. So yeah, you got to make sure your insurance is going to cover these short-term rentals versus, you know, you've got a long-term rental. You're going to have vacancies. And so it's going to be a different type of insurance. It's probably going to, did it cost more?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, we're just kind of hoping and, you know, planning that it should be worth it. So.
Yeah. Well, and it's an experiment, right? You've got to figure out, I would stick to it for a while. Obviously you've probably committed now over the winter. I would stick to it through at least majority of next summer to see what kind of traction you get. And, you know, if it doesn't work, then yeah, you put it up for rent, long-term rent, like back to normal, you know, end of August, and you'll get somebody to rent for then the year. So
Yep. Yeah, we've already bought the furniture and a lot of other things, you know, towels and sheets and bedding. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're definitely committed for a bit here.
How much did that cost you, John, to get to furnish and get all that stuff? Do you know?
Well, I haven't added it all up yet, but okay. There was a lot of the furniture I was able to get secondhand.
Yeah.
Facebook Marketplace has quite a few options there.
Okay.
But of course, some things were new, like sheets and kitchen stuff. So we're guesstimating around $1,500, $2,000 or so.
Okay. Well, that's not bad though.
Right. I was expecting, you know, I don't know, you could spend $8,000, $10,000.
Right.
You know, especially if you went all new.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah, I was kind of pleasantly surprised. I found several good deals, and
yeah, it was interesting. So we stayed at an Airbnb in Nashville because it was me and there was three other guys that came with me, and so we booked an Airbnb that we were able to have. There was two beds, a pull out couch, and an air mattress, so we were all able to fit in there pretty well, and it was definitely the most affordable option, because the hotel that the conference was at, by the time I was looking at booking, was almost $1,000 a night. So it was crazy. But even before that, some of the people that booked, they paid like $600-$700. But we paid $350 after all the fees a night. So $700, and you know, divide that by, you know, also that, what's that, $175. So yeah, it was pretty affordable option, but it was just kind of got me thinking too about the Airbnb and, you know, how they got it set up and how it's important to have good reviews and have it clean. And it was really interesting because this was in a transitioning neighborhood, but it was pretty rough. I went out on Sunday morning and went for a run in that neighborhood. And it was pretty rough. You could see the transitioning going on. You could see the dumpsters. You could see some new houses, you know, being built. But you could also see the blight. You know, you could also see, you know, I don't think I would have wanted to run. I went for a run at like 6 a.m. I don't think I would have wanted to go for a run at 6 p.m. type of thing. Because some of the areas I ran through was like, whoa, this is a really interesting and not very far from the property. But then as we drove away too, we drove through drove a different way that I ran, and you could see, wow, like it changes really quickly. So anyway, it was really interesting to see where they actually placed this Airbnb, and that they're getting really what I think really good money. I mean, $350 after all the fees a night is a lot of money for this. Was just a two bedroom, one bath duplex. So yeah, that was interesting as well, just to kind of see that, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be in a perfect area to do Airbnb, at least in Nashville. Maybe in other areas it doesn't. Nashville's like the Vegas of country singers, I guess. the country Vegas without the gambling. But it was crazy. You go down to that downtown, and it have you been to Nashville?
Not to that area. I've been in another place close by, but
okay. Yeah, it was, I mean, it's a fun city. We didn't go out much, and you know, we were at the conference, so we were stuck in a conference room all day. But the little bit that we did, you know, go for lunch and stuff, it was just busy. We walked a pretty good distance, and we walked through kind of the main, like, I guess, party area in and it was a party area, and the streets were packed, and it was Sunday, and they're just packed full of people.
I think I saw your Facebook Live from that. So.
It was crazy. I couldn't believe it. And that was at like, you know, noon. So yeah, anyways, it'll be really interesting to see how this goes with your Airbnb. And like I said, you'll have to keep us updated and how it's going. And so the listeners can learn from it. I can learn from it. You know, we can all definitely take some stuff away. Hopefully you can tell us the mistakes you make too.
Yep. I'm sure there'll be.
I'm sure. Yeah.
my wife and I are planning to release kind of a vlog about our experiences there. So we've got about three episodes recorded, and it's a little tough to find time to record them amidst our kids' activities and whatnot, but we're hopefully going to get that up and going here. So,
well, cool. You have to share out, you know, once you guys get that up and going, you have to share out the link. We'll put it on our show notes, and we'll maybe mention it a little bit more too, so our listeners can look at that vlog and kind of follow along with. I think it's really fun to see the progress. So I don't know when you guys started this, but if you started it right away, I think that'll be really cool to see the progress of how you started it. I would, and maybe you've already done this, but I would just talk about the decision-making process and all that kind of stuff, and just so everybody can kind of see where you're going with it and how it's working. And then don't hold back on like the mistakes that you're making and that type of stuff. We got a 3-star review and this is why we got it. And you know, whatever.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a little bit more kind of laid back and relaxed compared to other stuff that I put out. You know, I try to wear a nice looking shirt on most of things I produce, but this is going to be kind of, you know, it's with my wife. It's
in the trenches.
In the trenches. It's shorts and a t-shirt type of what's going on in real life. So,
or sweatshirt and long pants with a parka.
Right.
All right. Hey, I want to interrupt this episode real quick to talk to you about Nate Armstrong. Our sponsor, Nate Armstrong, he's with homeinvest.com. And you want to get to know Nate. So go to homeinvest.com. And just connect with Nate, talk to him, learn about his operation, what he's got going on. He's a turnkey provider, and it may not be right for you, but it could be the perfect fit. So it doesn't hurt. It's a free call, free consultation, just to figure out, you know, what they do, what they have to offer. And worst case is you're going to meet a great person who's really well educated in real estate. He's done a ton of different real estate strategies, and probably he's going to teach you a little bit, even on a short conversation with him. So go to homeinvest.com and connect with Nate's company. You're definitely not going to be disappointed. It's worth it. So thanks. And we'll get back to our show. Well, and actually kind of leads us to when you talk about this vlog, that was one thing I took from this conference. There's a bunch of different speakers and a lot of good information, a lot of good networking. It was a really good conference. So this is the conference I went to is called Multifamily Mastery. It was with Jake and Gino. They've got a podcast called Wheelbarrow Profits. Gino Barbaro, was a guest on our podcast. John, do you know the number? It was right around like 80, that he was a guest on our podcast.
Not sure.
Yeah, so I'll have to try to look it up. But yeah, he was a guest on the podcast, and so they put on this conference in Nashville. It was a great conference. It was about 400 people, a lot of them investing, actually investing in real estate. Those are great conferences to go to. You know, I go to not a ton of conferences, but I go to a few, and I go to some events locally, and a lot of them are like the newbies that have never done a deal. They're just wanting to do a deal. And going into it, there's nobody to talk to, but nobody that like has done, you know, or very few people that have done a lot of deals. And so it's just a different kind of atmosphere. This one definitely had some newbies that haven't done anything. It definitely had that, but it also had everybody in between. From, you know, there was a couple of guys that had 5,000 units, all the way down to people that had zero. And then there was all kinds of different people as well that were somehow involved in real estate, but maybe not even acquisitions. You know, there was a guy, and we talked about, you know, technology disruption. He's trying to disrupt the industry with technology, and he's wanting to create a program or website. And I didn't get all the details in it, but basically he wants it to be like the stock market, where you can go and you can see real time, kind of like what's happening in the market, what are things trading at? And you can at the, you know, during the day, see the volatility in the market, see, you know, everything like that. And you have real-time data, real-time news. You can find a lot of extra information out that we can't find out today, or that's really hard to find out. Like, you have to, you know, subscribe to, you know, these co-stars and stuff like that. So, yeah, he's trying to disrupt the industry, and there's other people like that. So it was really a neat conference. But back to the vlog that you were talking about, there was a guy, Andy Carter. He's got a podcast. I think it's called like Bulletproof Real Estate Investing. And he's done really well. He was talking about like this social media. He wasn't on social media. And all of a sudden he started hard. He like met up with Gary Vaynerchuk and Gary V, whether you like him or not. He's maybe sometimes a little annoying and over the top, but he talked to him and said, "Hey, look, like you've got to get on social media. You got to get this presence." So this Andy started doing like 4 hours a day, 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening, and just like Instagram. And, you know, he's on all these social media platforms and he's just going crazy with it. He said his friends and family told him he's nuts. Like, they disowned him. He said like half the people that were his connections on, you know, his Facebook and his Instagram defriended him. Because he's like constantly posting and he's got these videos that he's doing all the time, all this kind of stuff. Yet now he's one of the number one shows on iTunes. He's got, you know, thousands and thousands of followers. Like, people know about him. People know who he is, and he's actually monetizing that business now. And so it's just interesting to hear from him how he talked about the social media and the branding and you know, how to be true to yourself and how to expand in that business. And I don't know if you've noticed it, because I know you're active on social media. I've been much more active. I still could do a lot better, but there's just a huge difference now in people that'll reach out to me. I was at this conference and got your little name tag deal, and people go, "Hey, oh, Todd Dexter, I know your name. Why do I know who you are?" And, you know, which tells me two things. One, I should probably get out there more, because they should know who I am if that's what I'm trying to do. But two is just they recognized my name. So I'm obviously doing at least a good enough job to where they recognize the name. I probably need to do a better job where they absolutely know the name. But I've just noticed a big, big difference in my social media presence. And then in just knowing people, it's so much easier when somebody goes, "Oh yeah, yeah, I've heard you," or "I know," you know, they just want to come up. I had a lady, walking out of the conference, and she kind of passed by and she must have seen my name tag, because I wrote it in big, bold letters. Everybody else had it in little tiny letters. That they didn't have a name tag for me when I got there, so I wrote my own. So anyway, she saw my name tag and she says, "Oh, Todd Dexter, hey, I got to talk to you when you get time." I'm like, okay. Hey, how are you? And I had a great conversation with her later, and potentially a good connection to have. So I think a very good connection to have. So anyways, how have you noticed, like, have you noticed a difference?
You know, first of all, I just want to say, like, I think I sometimes struggle with the idea of like how public to be with my private life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
The more you put out there, the more, like you said, people will know you and maybe know your faults and know your ugly face, or, you know, whatever it might be. So that, I think
did you just call me ugly, John?
I was talking about myself.
Oh, all right.
So, you know, even with this vlog, like I said, it's with my wife, potentially our kids might get into it. We don't know. But like, how much do you really want to be out there? But
sure.
At the same time, like my broker here at Bridge Realty says, are you a secret agent? You know, are you just a real estate agent, but nobody really knows about it?
Yeah.
So Yeah. How much have I noticed response? I mean, I think not as much as I'd like to, actually. I'd like more, not just for the sake of attention, but for the sake of, you know, we're in it for business.
Yep.
So, but definitely, you know, sometimes I'll get into networking events and people will mention, oh, I saw your video on such and such. And that's kind of reassuring, like, oh, somebody actually watched it. So,
well, John, just so you know, I hear your name by quite a few people, like, oh yeah, John Stiles, you know, John Stiles. So I hear your name quite a bit. So you are getting out there, whether you think you're getting out there enough or not, and maybe you can do a better job at it. But just like I said, I can do a better job. But I was in Cincinnati and Lexington, and I was going to my properties, right? And I was walking these properties, and I also toured two assets that I'm looking at purchasing. And I had a guy with me that came with me to Cincinnati and Lexington. He could have videoed me walking through these properties, talking to my property manager, asking questions to my contractors, doing all of this stuff, videoed inside these units that were completely renovated. And we walked through a couple of units that hadn't been renovated and touched, and we walked through some units that were completely done. Like, we could have got all of that on video and tons of pictures and stuff like that, and yet I didn't do really any of it. I took a couple pictures and that was it. And I'm like, what am I thinking? So when this Andy presented, I'm like, what a missed opportunity. I had somebody with me. Like, I never have somebody. Usually I'm traveling alone and I don't have somebody with me. This guy was with me the whole time. He had nothing to do other than to walk the properties with me. He wasn't, you know, he was there kind of along for the ride to learn, but I mean, it was a great opportunity for me to take advantage of that. You know, and people would have loved it. People would love to hear, how does somebody talk to, because it's intimidating when you haven't walked through. These properties I walked through were 300, you know, one of them was over 300 units. That's intimidating. If you haven't ever walked through a property that's even close to that, and you're kind of trying to do that for the first time, or even like walking, I can remember like my first 12 unit building I walked through. I was like shaking the whole time. I was intimidated. I didn't know what to talk about, what kind of questions I should ask. I'm thinking, like, trying to go back to some of the stuff that I had learned. So it's great to hear somebody go through all that. And what kind of questions are they asking? What are they looking for? How do they interact with the broker and the people who are actually walking with them? I think that would have been fantastic, like, education to give people. I think people would have really enjoyed that. Like, oh, what a missed opportunity it was. So I have to get much, much better at it. I think and you're right. How much do you want to expose yourself? That's one question. But the other question is, what are you doing it for? So are you either going to go in just a little bit, or are you going to go all in? And I think you need to be all in if you're going to do it, or just don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the Gary Vee model, where he just has somebody following him around all day.
Yeah.
And he creates a lot of great content that way. And I've heard him talk about it, where, you know, he doesn't have to sit down and think, okay, what am I going to blog about today? He just has people follow him, and that's the content, real life.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously they're editing stuff. They're not putting out 24 hours worth of video. They're not, well, maybe not 24, because I guess videoing him while he sleeps wouldn't be that great. But you're not putting out all this video. You maybe only putting out maybe even a half an hour a day, or 45 minutes, or whatever it is. But that whole walk, that whole, you know, couple days plus even the conference, that could have been months worth of content. Mm-hmm. If I wanted it to be. So it missed opportunity, but a good lesson. I'm glad he was there to talk about that, because it went, duh, like, what are you doing? So that was one thing that I really, you know, took away. Your social media, the branding, not even just social media, but make sure you have a presence in everything you're doing, to make sure you're having a branding, make sure you're staying consistent. We've talked about that before, but So then one of the other things we talked about, and I kind of already mentioned this, is a technology disruption. You know, multifamily is like stone ages, right? We don't do much different than we did, you know, 100 years ago. And I would say over the last, like, just a couple of years, you know, maybe 3-4 years, a lot of new technology has been entering the market. And I think it's just going to really, really come on strong. And I think there's a lot of companies that are seeing this big black hole. Like, there's so much that could be done in the commercial real estate, multifamily real estate market to make a lot of money and to disrupt this market. So I think there's going to be a lot of people and technology trying to disrupt the multifamily market. We've talked about it with real estate agents. I think there's going to be a lot of technology to come in and disrupt it. And so it's nothing to be scared about, right? It's something to embrace and go, okay, this is going to be disrupting the market. How do I get on top of it? How do I stay with it? I've talked about it with crowdfunding before. I think those who are anti-crowdfunding are going to get left behind, and they're going to go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I missed that. That was so stupid of me. It was right in front of my face. I think there's a long ways to go right now with crowdfunding. I think it's a very kind of still archaic kind of system, but I think it's just going to continue to get better as we go. So I think being in front of that, I think we got all the blockchain, which is, you know, not I'm not talking cryptocurrency, though that is there too, but within blockchain, there's a lot more. So the title work and, you know, all that kind of stuff will, to me, get disrupted. And then you've got the data, the analytics, the real-time stuff. I already kind of mentioned that, but you've got a lot of different things like that. And then you got the tech for actually in the apartments. You know, you've got all these utilities and other expenses that technology can help make much more efficient, much more, you know, just understandable, and bring it kind of to the front. And so, and then you've also got just simple things like a tech packages, different tech options for your tenants, for these buildings to try to help and get entice tenants to come in. So it's just going to be, and there's things that I'm not even thinking of that maybe nobody's thinking of that are going to be involved in, you know, changing and disrupting the market. And we just have to be on top of it. So,
yeah. You know, one small example of tech coming into housing is electronic locks. So for me, for my Airbnb, I got an electronic lock that's Bluetooth capable. And then when my guests come in, I can send them an electronic key that's only effective for the time that they're staying there. So I don't even have to give them a code to punch in. They just put their phone up to the door and it opens. And, you know, that's just one example that's available out there.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe it's already out there. I haven't seen it. It wouldn't shock me if it is, but I wouldn't be surprised if you're going to have an app on your phone that'll open your door soon, you know, and
that's what it is. Yeah. It's an app.
And it will open that door?
Yes.
But so the tenant just goes with their phone and opens the door? They don't have to type in a code?
Correct.
Oh, yeah. So it's already there. I mean, and that'll be in apartments too. And it probably is in some apartments where you can just, you know, you got your phone and boop, go right into your apartment. And that way nobody, you know, talk about, you know, there's potential issues with it, but there's also some security because you've got some stranger. And the problem with some of the things that you've got the key fob system. Well, what happens if I lose the little key fob? Okay. Well, now I got to get a new key fob, mate. That's expensive. That's a pain. The tenant's locked out. They're calling you. If they lose it at midnight because they're drunk or whatever it is, they can't get into their place and they're calling and calling and calling and they're disrupting everything. But now if it's on your phone, yeah, you could still lose your phone, but it's just your phone could die. So there still is problems with that. But one of the things we're talking about is those key fob systems are expensive. on our apartment, and does it make sense to do it? I'm sure a phone app system would be kind of expensive as well, but there's the digital, you can punch in just the code right on the door. Well, the problem with that though is you've got a tenant that just wants their buddies to come over whenever. They're just going to give them that code. And so everybody's got access to it. Or if it's on your cell phone, you're the only one, and you can't really give it to your friends.
Right. Yep. And then it also tracks whenever it's open and locked. So, if there is a question about security, you can just look at who entered the building. So,
that's actually really good because we can go look. You entered the building last. You propped the door open. We got issues with that. So, yeah, good. I mean, it'll be interesting times ahead. I mean, I think it's only going to get, it's only going to change faster and faster. I think it's like I said, this multifamily is like we were stuck in the Stone Ages up until recently, and we're still really are in the Stone Ages if you consider most other industry. But I think quickly we're going to see a lot of changes happening, and if you're not willing to keep up with it, you're either going to do two things. One is you're going to be a small property owner, which is fine. You can own one or two buildings, small buildings, or if you're going to actually, change with it, you can build a good sized company. So I think it's going to be hard to not keep up with it and own, 1,000 units. Yep. So we're running a little later on time because we talked about the Airbnb stuff, but a couple more things we talked quite a bit about is market cycles. And we mentioned, market cycles are local. And there's a lot of different factors you got to consider when you're looking at these markets. Everybody's concerned because we've got these compressed cap rates and, everybody thinks there's going to be this crash, and I'm not so sure that's actually the case. I don't want to say it's not the case, but everybody's so concerned about a crash. Quite frankly, if a crash happened or a nice size downturn happened, I would be very happy, right? Because I would go out and buy a lot of properties. But we also have to think of what's actually happening in our market. And again, every market's different. Every market's localized. We were talking about Cleveland, Ohio, for instance. And Cleveland, Ohio is seeing population decline. Yet they're seeing very compressed cap rates and they're seeing new building going on. Well, that doesn't make much sense. Okay, so be careful in markets like Cleveland. Now, if you're in Cleveland and you love that market, you might have other reasons to invest there, and that's fine. Maybe you have your reasons to invest there, and if they're really strong reasons other than just good cash flow, because good cash flow is great, but if in 20 years now no longer you can, or 10 years now no longer you can have good cash flow because the market has continued to lose population, what's the good in that? Now you've got a property that's worth less than what you bought it for and has less cash flow than when you bought it. So you got to be careful of markets like that. But if you're investing in appreciating markets for cash flow, you've got a lot of positives going on. Now, can you still get stuck? Yeah, you can still get in trouble. But, we talked about doing things creatively, like making sure your financing is in place properly. And there's a lot of different ways we can do financing. We can put different types of financing on top of financing. We can get some seller financing. We can do all kinds of creative things to try to help boost our returns and mitigate some risk. We can bring in more equity. That was talked about a lot. Instead of going 80% or 75% loan to value, go 60% loan to value and bring in some extra equity into the property. Now returns to the investors will have to be less, but it's still a good way to hedge against any downturn. And then, we also talk about we got immigration going on. You've got this population. What's going to happen with immigration? The other thing I think is a big factor in our market right now is you've got a ton of foreign money coming in, and it's still coming in. It's maybe not coming in quite at the speed as it was, but it's still coming in. And this foreign money in most cases is used to returns in real estate much less than what our returns are. So they're happy with a 3 cap. You know, they're, where we go, holy crap, a 3 cap, that doesn't make any sense. They're happy with that. And so a lot of that's happening too. And I think it's going to continue to happen. We're becoming such a world of, like, everybody can interact with everybody, where before it was, if you live in the US, you buy in the US. You don't, you know, you're not everywhere. Well, now it's so easy to do business around the globe, it just doesn't really matter. So I think that's going to continue to disrupt our market, where people don't understand, like, why these cap rates are continuing to compress or maintain the compression that they've already got. I think it's because of some of that stuff. So,
yeah, I just had lunch with somebody the other day, and we were talking about, you know, residential properties versus commercial, and how he was excited to get into commercial because he didn't have to deal with all the emotions of home buyers, homeowners that, you know, drive prices up. I was like, well, yes, but you have foreign money that is not as concerned with the returns that we're expecting. So that's the other side of the coin. So,
yeah. Well, and you still have emotion in commercial real estate. I don't care what people think. People talk about, oh, commercial real estate's great because it's driven based on how much, you know, you can make. It's driven on the NOI. And that's true to an extent, but there is still emotion. The emotion not necessarily is this is a cute place. The emotion is based on a lot of times the financial decision. But just because, you know, the market told you 2 years ago that property should sell at a 10 cap doesn't mean in, you know, 2 years from now, it's going to still sell at a 10 cap. Emotions have happened, and now people are willing to pay a 5 cap for that same 10 cap building. You know, so emotions still happen. It's just a different emotional experience than in a single family. Yep. Yeah. You know, the other thing, you know, too, is there's a lot more education going on. You know, there's podcasts. You know, I got this podcast. There's tons of other great podcasts out there. There's all kinds of conferences. Well, I was at a conference with 400 people a month and a half ago. I was at a conference with 400 people. You know, I'm going to be going to a conference, for sure, in February, there'll be 400 people there. These are different conferences held by different people that are doing education on how to invest in real estate. That's a new-ish phenomenon. Now, it's been happening for the last few decades, but it's increasing as we go. We had this little downturn during the downturn of education, but it very quickly ramped up. And now it's, you look at what we're, all this education that's out there for people, it's 10 times what it was back in 2004, 5, 6. So that's another disruptor, is education. People can get information so easily, and then now they want to buy and they're ready to buy. So anything on that, John?
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I've been familiar with real estate in the past 8 or so years, and a lot of it has been through those conferences and in training, and I got to thinking, you know, man, it seems like a lot of people are becoming more and more aware of this. And mm-hmm. Back 10, 20, 50 years ago, did as many people know about real estate investing as much as they do now? And, you know, probably not. But
yep. Yeah. So it'll be really interesting what happens with this market cycle. Could we go on for another, you know, 10, 15, 20 years? Potentially. Like, I don't know. I think it's dangerous to say we will, right? Because you don't want to assume the sun is going to shine forever. But at the same time, you got to be aware that it could. So those are who are sitting on the sidelines waiting for this crash. Well, you know, you might be in a wheelchair or walker before it happens, because you're going to be waiting for so long. Who knows? And maybe we could wait till, you know, 6 months from now and it could happen. But if you're buying right and you're following the fundamentals, you'll still be fine. The other thing that's kind of goes along with market cycle is investor expectations. We talked a little bit about that, and how do we, you know, kind of, we've got this market cycle that's, you know, kind of long in the tooth per se, and returns are going down. So how do we talk to our investors about that, and how do we change their expectations? And kind of the conclusion was, well, it's through education and through relationships. You got to build relationships with your investors. So anybody who's one of my investors, or maybe a potential investor of mine, if you want to talk to me, I'd love to talk to you. So if, you know, I think it's important to get in front of the people that have any potential to invest with you, educate them, let them know what you're doing. But not only that, let them know, like, why, if you're going to change your investor expectations, if you're going to go maybe from a 8% rich preferred return down to a 6% or 7% or whatever it is, why? What are we doing? What are we trying to achieve? Why are we doing that? Why is it okay to have a 14% IRR versus an 18% IRR? Why is that okay? What are we doing? What's going on with that? So I think you need to be very open with the people that are going to be investing with you, or your partners, or whoever it is that you're going to be dealing with. So everybody knows what's going on. Why is this still okay to do? You know, I talked about putting more money into a deal so you're more liquid. Well, that's going to lower investor expectations or lower investor returns. Well, if you tell them why you're doing it and there's a good reason for it, a lot of those investors will still say, well, I still would love to invest in this deal, even though the last deal was 16% and this deal is only 14%. I still want to invest with you because I really like your philosophy on this. So I think it's getting in front of the problem, educating them, building those relationships is really key. So yeah, all that. The last thing, John, and you can touch on any of these that I've talked about. The last thing, though, that I want to hit on. Well, we talked about cost segregation. That was a lot of good information. I'm going to kind of skip that. I'll have a cost seg person on so we can talk more about cost segregation. But the last thing is just the networking and the team building and just, you know, building your team, building your networks. And I think that's really important on any conference. They kind of hit on that in there. And quite frankly, I didn't go into the conference room all that often. I listened a little bit, but then I would go out and I would try to just network and talk to different people and build relationships. And I think that's really, really important when you get to these conferences is really try to get yourself out there and really try to be as social as you possibly can.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a great learning opportunity that you had there. So cool.
Yeah, it was fun. It was good. I give them props. So anybody who's interested in, you know, I'm sure they'll have an event next year. This one I think went really well. So, you know, check them out. It's, like I said, it's Jake and Gino. Gino Barbaro was on our podcast. So it was a great guest. Check, you know, do a search for him. It was right around episode 80. Maybe we'll put it in the show notes so people can link back to it since we did talk about the conference and stuff. So,
and then you were on a panel there too, right?
Yeah. Yep. I was on a panel and it was just a general panel where, we asked questions. We actually talked about quite a few of the things, that I talked about today, where people would ask different questions about, you know, real estate, and everybody up there was, you know, active real estate investors or active in the real estate industry. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Anything you want to add, John, to anything we've talked about today?
Not, you know, I missed the conference, so I don't have any.
Yeah, you should have been there, man.
Well, yeah. Next time I got to go.
Next time you got to go. Absolutely. It's good. I think, you know, people look, this conference was, it was very affordable. It was only, I don't know how much they charged, like they charged like $200 or maybe $300. It wasn't very expensive. That's a pretty good price. And there's some free stuff you get, not a lot, but the little bit of free food and, you know, stuff like that. So for overall for that conference, it was really affordable for people. I think it was only $200 to $300. And a lot of them, that's all they are, between $200 and $500. And they're really good events to go to. I would go and just say, hey, I want to pick to do, I think everybody should do at least 1 year, if not two or three a year, if they can, and just go to these and network and meet people and learn from, there's so much to learn, so many great people to meet, and who knows, you might meet a future, you know, partner, at one of these conferences too. A lot of people I talk to, they met at a certain conference and now they're business partners with each other. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I think that's it, John. How can our listeners get in touch with us?
Yeah, listeners, thank you for listening and watching if you're on YouTube. So hopefully you know by name, our name, hopefully you know by now, our name, Pillars of Wealth Creation. And, you know, you can go ahead and just scroll down and comment below if you're on YouTube or if you're on SoundCloud or iTunes. And, love to get your feedback, your reviews, and we can continue the conversation as well on Facebook. So again, Pillars of Wealth Creation.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So Facebook or whatever, however you want to reach out with, like John said, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know how we're doing and maybe what you want us to do better, guests that you'd love to have us on, questions that you've got that you'd like us to answer, just reach out and, John or I will be in touch with you. So, that's it, John. You have a great rest of the day. And to our listeners, make every day a Saturday.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20. And if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. Episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars. To claim your free course today.